Blog Talk Radio.
There is a death. The pastor cannot do it alone.
That's right.
And so it is important that the laity be trained and prepared to help the work of the church, to help in the work of the ministry, so that the body of Christ may be built up and matured spiritually, as we're taught in Ephesians chapter 4. So the laity has an important role in the church. There is a definite need for training the laity. The Ministry of Laity Training is one of the four USCCM ecclesiastical ministry offices, the laity. I would also point out that the Ministry of Laity Training is one of the four USCCM ecclesiastical ministry offices. We have Ministry of Evangelism, Ministry of Communications, the Ministry of Laity Training, and also the Ministry of Clergy Training. Dear UFCCM friends and supporters, this is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. I don't know where you are, but it's raining hard here, but I am so glad that the SON continues to shine. This is Teacher Margaret Tindall extending a hearty welcome to all of you, our listeners who are on your phone, or maybe you're on Facebook, or maybe you are sitting with your computer on at uscm.org. This is the UFCCM Ministry of Laity Training Outreach Broadcast, and we praise God for allowing us to come together one more time. We're so grateful for the opportunity to come to you the second Saturday of each month by means of Blog Talk Radio as a part of the UFCCM International Ministry. We're so appreciative of you and so thankful for your commitment to this radio ministry, and we're delighted that you have tuned in for today's broadcast. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. And before we do, I'd like to ask you to pray as we pray. We have so much illness and sickness. Pastor Atiyah Watkins, who is our speaker for today, is very ill and unable to be with us. Pastor Tindall has been in the hospital and is in a mode of recouping, although he's been having some setbacks back and forth. We know we've been praying for Mother Kramer, and I know you all have personal friends. I have several friends that I have been praying for who are battling cancer and other issues, but let us just go to the Lord in prayer and remember these individuals and others that you know as we pray. Father God, we come before you today, giving your name the glory, the honor, and the praise, because you are worthy, Father. And, if we had 1,000 tongues, we couldn't begin to give you the glory and the honor that you deserve. But, Father, we come to you in our human humility, bowing down before you and giving your name the praise. We ask you, Father, to look on us today as we go into our laity broadcast. We ask you, Father, to help us to deliver a word or a thought that will help somebody, that will change a life. Our objective and goal is not to do great or good broadcasts, but our goal is to do broadcasts to bring your word that will do good in someone's life. We ask you to look on all of these who are ill and battling disease in various situations, and we just ask that your will be done for their healing and their deliverance. Look on our UFCCM International Ministry, our prelate, our board of bishops, our Sacred College of Bishops, all of our affiliates, our national officials. Just look on it in its entirety, Lord, and let your blessings continue to show forth. Father, look on me, touch my voice, help me to be able to say what it is that you will have me to say on this broadcast today. This we ask in Jesus' name, amen. Our scripture for today is 1 John 5:14-15. This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And we know that he hears us. Whatever we ask, we know that we have what we ask of him. Amen. Well, as we remind you every broadcast, the UFCCM Ministry of Laity Training is designed to fulfill one of the highest goals of the Christian church, which is namely to equip us as people for works of service so that we, the body of Christ, may be built up and matured spiritually. And we know that it is through preparation and learning God's word and applying God's word that we become mature Christians, full grown in the Lord. As we mentioned during our January broadcast, and we continually remind you, our theme for 2019 is operating in kingdom authority. And we were so blessed during our February and March broadcast to have our ecumenical patriarch, Bishop Henry A. Tindall Sr., and Mother Bishop Shirley Tindall to introduce this year's theme and bring to us excellent lessons and teachings on what it means to operate in kingdom authority so that we might have a greater understanding of this meaning. So many of you have expressed interest in having them continue these lessons. However, due to scheduling and other concerns, it was not possible for them to be with us again today, but we hope to bring them again before this year is up to talk a little bit more about this theme. As I mentioned, our scheduled speaker for today was Pastor Atiyah Watkins, who is the pastor of Kingdom Covenant Churches and Ministries of Rock Hill, South Carolina. However, she is ill, and so late last night she was feeling poorly, and I advised her to take a rain check and that we would schedule her for a later date. So it falls upon me today to share with you, and I embrace the opportunity and ask God to guide and to give me what to say to you today. The thought that I will be discussing is faith, a necessary step for operating in kingdom authority. Faith, a necessary step for operating in kingdom authority. And I hope as we discuss this topic, if any of you listeners have a comment or a question or even a testimony or a word of encouragement, feel free to call in. Use your phone. The call-in number is 347-850-1405, and then simply press 1 on your phone, and Bishop Haywood, who is our program director, will bring you right into the broadcast, all right? So let's go into our message for today. Bishop and Mother Bishop Tindall, in the notes from the lessons they brought, identified 4 important and necessary steps to take to be able to operate in kingdom authority. And those, namely those 4 steps are, 1, change, transformational thinking. And the scripture that kind of explains this and helps us to really delve into this is Romans 12:1, and I would even include 2. Where Paul writes, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And listen to this, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Here's that transformational thinking, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The second key or step they talked about was separate, holy living, 2 Corinthians 6:17, where it teaches us to come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. And we know that word separate in the context of this has a twofold meaning. Separate from whatever is contrary to the mind of God. So separate from whatever is contrary. And then separate to God himself. Separate yourself to God himself. And the third step, which we're going to delve into today, is faith. Hebrews 11, that whole chapter, but knowing that God will do what he said he will do. And we will talk about this scripture more, but this is one of my favorite passages. But without faith, in Hebrews 11 and 6, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And then the last necessary step is obey, meaning positioned to get results. And the scripture there is 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 22b and verse 23. And in this passage we see Samuel rebuking Saul, telling him, behold, to obey is better than sacrifice. And I'm not going to read the rest of that, but that one part of that scripture, to obey is better than sacrifice. And so when we obey, we are positioned to get results. So as I before stated, today I would like to focus on faith. It is a key to pleasing God and an important and necessary step to being able to operate in kingdom authority. We learn from Bishop Tyndale and Mother Bishop that as children of the King, we not only have the power, spiritually granted ability to exercise Holy Ghost power through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, but we have the authority to do so as disciples and ambassadors of the kingdom. And I love the fact that in their presentation they made that distinction between authority and power. Authority is power to influence or command thought, opinion, or behavior. And power is defined as the ability to act or produce an effect. So we have the power and the ability to operate in kingdom authority. Now, as believers, sometimes our tendency is to overcomplicate spirituality. And we need to remember that salvation is not based on some esoteric understanding or something that we must be doing, some great works that we must be doing. We must remember that God wants our hearts. He's not focused on our works, because when he has our heart, our works will manifest what is in our heart and will glorify God. And so as we keep this in mind, we understand that salvation is a free gift. It's not founded on behaving, but upon believing, which is faith. It's founded not upon trying, but upon trusting God. It's founded not upon doing, but upon what Jesus has already done. When he died on the cross, he said, "It is finished," John 19 and 30. He did all that was necessary to secure our salvation. So there is nothing left for anyone else to do. This simple key that we go back to, Hebrews 11 and 6, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. To please God means to be acceptable to him. We must, if we're to operate in kingdom authority, we must believe that God is. You may recall in the book of Exodus when Moses was conversing with God and finally asked God, "Who do I say that you are?" God told Moses, "I am that I am." In other words, God was saying, "I am whatever you need." The I am, God, is the ultimate statement of self-sufficiency, of self-existence, and immediate presence. God's existence is not contingent upon anyone else. God is the great I am, and we need to remember that. His plans are not contingent upon any circumstances. He promises that he will be what he will be. That is the eternally constant God. God stands forever present and unchangeable, completely sufficient in himself to do what he wills to do and to accomplish what he wills to accomplish. When he identified himself as I am who I am, he was really stating that no matter when or where, he is there. You know, it calls to mind Revelation 1:8, where the writer gives this scripture, "I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty." And sometimes we get it twisted. We need to realize that God is the great I am, but sometimes we walk outside of who we should be, continually wanting to be our own I am, making plans and determining what we want to do. But if we are to walk in kingdom and operate in kingdom authority, we must operate outside of ourselves and we must rely on God. So the key to pleasing God is faith. And, you know, we have a lot of definitions of faith, but in its pure essence, faith is knowing that God will do what he said. It is as simple as that. And we trust and know God is a man that keeps his word. Numbers 23:19 tells us that God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent. Has he said and will he not do? Or has he spoken and will he not make it good? We need to trust God and to believe his word and everything that he says. In Hebrews 11:1, we understand that faith is the substance of what you know is coming your way, even though it is not yet seen. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is not wishful thinking. Based on the word of God, faith says to us, whether I see it presently, whether I understand it intellectually, whether I see it immediately, I know what God says he'll do, he will do it. So it doesn't matter if you don't see it right now, if you don't understand it, just know that God will do what he says he is going to do. There are numerous examples in the scriptures of people who've had faith in God. You all are familiar with Hebrews 11, which is sometimes known as the Faith Hall of Fame. And in it we see such great patriarchs and such great men of God, as such as Abel, who gave a more excellent sacrifice, or Enoch, who was taken away and did not see death, or Noah, who moved with God and with godly fear and prepared the ark, and even Abraham, who obeyed God when God called him to go and leave his kindred, and he went, not even knowing where he was going, but because he believed God, he went. And Abraham stands out as the supreme model of faith in the Old Testament. And we remember that he was declared righteous not because of something he did for the Lord or by virtue of the fact that he proved himself to God, but because he simply believed God. We need to believe God. If we are to operate in kingdom authority, We need to understand that God's promises are sure and that his promises share his personality, meaning they are perfect, eternal, wise, just, certain, and good. So I want to focus a little bit on Romans chapter 4. This seminal chapter is one where Paul teaches about justification, and he explains that no one can be justified by works. In Romans 4 and 5, he says, "But to him who does not work but believes on him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is accounted for righteousness." His faith is accounted for righteousness. And so in this chapter, Paul gives a lengthy, a lengthy discourse about Abraham and how Abraham was justified by faith. And we must remember that God justifies sinners who believe in Christ by declaring them righteous on the basis of one simple thing, and that is what Christ did for us on the cross. And you know, listeners, the death of Christ could justify all humanity. It is for, he died for all humanity, but only those who trust in Christ as their Savior receive justification. So Abraham then provides the classic Old Testament example of justification by faith. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness, Genesis 15 and 6. So I want to delve a little bit more into Romans 4 and looking at verses starting at verse 19. As we study this passage of Scripture, we see that there are four elements of Abraham's faith that we need to focus on because they're vital, and they are keys to pleasing God. And I would add that they are critical if we are to operate in kingdom authority. So let's look at these. Number one, and as we go through these, I'd like you to just digest these and think about your own life and your own walk and apply these to your thinking and your actions. Number one, Abraham did not look at his limitations. If we're to operate in kingdom authority, we must not focus on or look at our limitations. Even though it looked hopeless physically and logically, Abraham had hope. And biblically, hope can be defined as the expectation of coming good, of good that is coming to you. So when Abraham was 86, he received the promise from God that he and Sarah would have a child. And 14 years later, when he was 100, Abraham still believed that God would honor his word, even though reproductively, as we know, his body was dead, and physiologically, Sarah had been barren all the days of her life and was past childbearing age. But Abraham did not consider the frailties of the flesh. Instead, he counted on the faithfulness of his God. And, you know, sometimes we wonder why God's promise has not been fulfilled in our lives. And we have to remember that invariably there may be a time gap between the promise of God and the performance of God. Why? So that God can prepare us for what's coming. Therefore, don't look at your limitations. In order to operate in kingdom authority, we cannot look at or focus on limitations. Because guess what? If you look for them, you're going to find them. Amen? You will be sure to find all kinds of limitations if you look for them. And when you do that, it leads to a lack of faith and it leads to disobedience, and God will not be pleased. So what are some of the limitations that we consider? You know, I consider that I am limited today with the problems that I'm having with my voice and this congestion. But guess what? It is not going to stop me. It is not going to deter me from doing what God has assigned to my hands. So we have all kinds of things that we consider as limitations: financial issues, physical issues, vocational issues, relational issues, all kinds of things. But in order to operate in kingdom authority, listeners, we must remember to take our eyes off of our limitations and put our eyes and focus on the one who is limitless. I want to say that again. Take your eyes off your limitations and put them on the one who is limitless. Let God use you in spite of limitations. Let God guide your walk and help you to operate in kingdom authority in spite of any limitations that you think that you might have. Look at those in the Bible who were not perfect, who had limitations. Rahab, this woman was a prostitute, but yet, because she obeyed God and allowed God to use her, she is in the lineage of Jesus Christ. Look at Moses, who was a murderer and did all sorts of things, and how God used him to lead his people out of bondage. Noah, Jonah, look at even Saul, who later became Paul, one of the greatest persecutors of God's people in the Bible. Yet he became one of the greatest apostles and wrote most of the books of the New Testament. Look at David. David was an adulterer, a murderer, but yet he was used of God so that he became the greatest king, and through his line Jesus came. So let God use you in spite of limitations. Let him guide your walk and your ability to operate in kingdom authority in spite of any limitations that you think you may possess. Number two, Abraham did not lower his expectations. Pastor Tia was going to deliver a lesson today on expectations, and we're looking forward to hearing that lesson when she is well. But in Romans 4:20, part A of that verse, it says of Abraham, "Yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God." What does that mean? It means that he did not waver. He did not bend. He did not stagger at the promise of God through unbelief, but he maintained his faith. He did not reject what God said, because in not lowering his expectations, we see that Abraham expected God to do what he said he would do. Has God given you, listeners, a word or a promise for your life? Think about that. If he has, we need to expect that God will do just what he said he would do. And just because it is not performed on our schedule does not mean that God will not do it. I think we're going to take a quick break right now, and we'll be right back.
stay up to date with all UFCCM news, events, and happenings, go to UFCCM.org. Also, find us on Facebook at UFCCM Today. Did you know that you could contact the UFCCM through the National Switchboard? Call 833-88-UFCCM. That's 833-888-3226. Go to the UFCCM website for specific extensions.
Okay, so we're back again. And we were talking about four elements of Abraham's faith that we want to focus on that will be helpful to us and critical as we operate in kingdom authority. And we talked about the fact that Abraham did not look at his limitations, and that we are to take, if we're to operate in kingdom authority, we need to take our eyes off our limitations and focus on the one who is limitless, who is God. Secondly, that Abraham did not lower his expectations, but he maintained his faith and did not back down, bend, break, waver. He did not reject what God said. The third thing we learned about Abraham is that Abraham gave God adulation. In Romans 4, part B of verse 20, it says, Abraham was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God. Faith comes and fear flees when we give God glory. And glory, give God glory simply means to give him praise and honor. And when we worship God, our faith begins to grow. And this is why worship is so important, because not only does it bless the Father, but it feeds our faith. Before I go to this last point, listeners, I want to remind you that we welcome your calls and your questions and comments and testimonies or whatever you would like to share. Simply dial 347-850-1405 and press 1 on your phone. Our program director, Bishop Haywood, is on his post in the studio waiting to hear from you, and he will bring you in when you press 1. So let's go to our fourth point. Abraham handed God the situation. And we see that in this scripture, in Romans 4 and 21, when we read that portion of scripture, we can see that Abraham handed God the situation. I'm trying to find that passage. I had it because I want to read this. Romans 4 and 21. Always have your word nearby. And being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. And therefore, it was accounted to him for righteousness. So we need to be convinced that what God promised, he is able. God is not one who just promises, but he's able to do what he promises. And we simply hand whatever situation we're going through, we hand it over to God. Abraham knew that if God promised it, it was up to God to fulfill the promise. We, on the other hand, try to spend our time figuring out how God is going to do it. But we need to be fully persuaded, hands off. I'm not touching this. God said he was going to do it. I'm waiting on him. I'm leaving it up to him. Being fully persuaded, listeners, that what God promised, he would perform. We have many situations in our lives to deal with every day. But didn't God say that he would take care of us? Didn't God say that he would never leave or forsake us? Didn't God say he would deliver us out of our troubles? But we must give these situations to God. This is the key to faith. We please God by trusting him and having faith. And you know what? We only need a teeny, weeny, 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 tiny bit of faith. Matthew 17 and 20 says, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you. if we could just grab a hold of that and just internalize it and memorialize it within ourselves and just walk in it and believe it, God's word is true and it will come to fruition. We have exercised great faith to believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. So we, as we operate in kingdom authority, need to use that same faith to also believe that God is going to take care of our present situation. And we must do as 2 Corinthians 5 and 7 shares, we walk by faith and not by sight. We need to walk so that we can go up the stairs without even seeing the steps. We walk by faith, not by what we see, not by our sensory perception, but simply by faith. So give him the glory, leave it in his hands, and know that without faith, it is impossible to please God. Faith is a necessary step to operate in kingdom authority. So the lessons that we learn from Abraham about faith and the keys that we learn that we can apply to help us operate in kingdom authority are: do not focus on your limitations. Put your eyes on the one who is limitless. Maintain your faith. Do not lower expectations. Give God praise, honor, give God adulation, and give God every situation in your life. Release it to him. His word tells us to cast our care on him because he is the one who cares for us. So faith is a necessary step to operate in kingdom authority. I was thinking about this story of this little boy whose Sunday school teacher decided that she was going to have the class memorize one of the most quoted passages in the Bible, which is Psalm 23. So she gave the students, the children, a month to learn the 23rd Psalm and to memorize it. So little Ricky was excited about this task, and he just couldn't remember the Psalm. And so after a lot of practice, he could barely get past the first line. And on the day that the children were scheduled to recite Psalm 23 in front of the congregation, this little boy was so nervous. And so when it was his turn to the microphone and said proudly, "The Lord is my shepherd, and that's all I need to know." We need to be like this little boy in order to operate in kingdom authority, just to have faith, to trust God, and ask no questions as we move. I want to open up the lines now for any callers. If you have been blessed by this word, or if you have been stirred, or if there's a question or a comment or a testimony or even a word of encouragement based on this that you would like to share to our listening audience, please press 1 on your phone, and Bishop Haywood will bring you into the broadcast. So the lines are open.
Teacher Tindall, we do have one caller at the moment. We'll bring her right in, and I believe it's our wonderful elder, Hunt, and we have a few others, but we just brought her in.
Good morning, Elder Hunt.
Good morning, Teacher Tindall. I appreciate the opportunity just to call in to let you know how much I enjoyed the lesson today. Today's teaching was just so wonderful, and I'm sorry to hear that Pastor Watkins is ill, and we'll certainly hold her up in prayer. But I was writing some notes, and I appreciate what you said about transformation, separation, faith, and obedience. And I especially enjoyed the four elements of Abraham's faith that you outlined. And as you were speaking, it brought to mind a scripture that I read just this morning in 1 Corinthians 1:25 that says that because the foolishness of God is wiser than men and the weakness of God is stronger than men, that we must continue in our faith and in our trust and our walk with God. And I appreciate so much this lesson, and I was blessed by it, and I just wanted to share that with you.
Thank you so much, Elder Hunt, for calling in and for sharing this, because these elements of faith, if we apply them to our lives, we will be operating in kingdom authority with all the attributes and everything that God has intended for us. We will be able to walk effectively and in strength. So I do thank you so much for your call and for sharing. And as you were thinking, you were mentioning the foolish things of the world. I had wrote a note to myself to mention this. I saw a sign this morning that really disturbed me, but it is indicative of the times in which we live. And the sign said, "There probably is no God, so relax and enjoy your life."
Oh,
this
my
is
God.
The mentality. Isn't that awful? I mean, it just disturbed me. And I started not to share it, but I said I need to share it because we need to be aware of what is going on in our world and why it is so important that we harness the power and the authority given to us by God through the Holy Spirit, that as we walk through this life, we operate in that power and authority so that we may be effective disciples and ambassadors for the kingdom.
Amen.
So thank you so much
Teacher
for your
Tendo.
Comments. Thank you, Elder Hunt. Yes, Bishop yes. Haywood.
Well, we have our wonderful Mother Bishop on the line as well.
Good morning, Mother Bishop.
And good morning, Teacher Tindall. How are you?
I am here, and I'm well. Thank the Lord.
Wonderful, wonderful. I thank God for the broadcast that I, too, as Elder Hunt, that I thank God for just the opportunity and the privilege to even just listen to the broadcast and have the ability to take some notes. And I thoroughly enjoyed the broadcast and your teaching on the elements of faith, and I've jotted down a number of things, but one particular thing I'm looking at here at my notes, and I really, really enjoyed the fact when you enlighten us by reminding us that Abraham did not look at his limitations, and the fact that sometimes there is a gap between the promise and the performance of whatever God has promised. And I think that is so important, especially as we operate in kingdom authority, to be mindful of the fact that God will allow us a time to actually prove ourselves to him. We're so used to living in a world that you order something and a few minutes, boom, it's there. And that element of waiting, oftentimes as Christians, we have relinquished that because of the type of world that we live in. You know, everything is so microwave and so instant and immediate. But God wants us to realize that there are times we have to wait, and
yes.
we have to wait patiently. And because we are waiting, it is not a time for us to give up on our faith. It is not a time for us to doubt God. And oftentimes as Christians, that happens because we've been praying for something, and if it doesn't happen immediately, I recently heard someone say that, well, God didn't hear my prayer because I was not instantly healed. And, of course, we had to chime in on that really quickly and say, oh, no, God does not operate at the whims and the wishes of man, that we have to be patient and learn to wait on God. And in our patience, that's when we learn a lot.
Yes.
And I just thank God for this, and this is just so beautiful. And I wish there were just more people to be able to hear this, and especially some of our younger Christians and younger generations of people coming up, because the world that we came up in was very different than the world that we're experiencing now.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it is so important, that element of waiting and continuing to trust God in the time of waiting. And as you talked about Abraham, if that was in our day, after maybe a very short time, people would have just said, well, I'm giving up because God is not hearing me and such and such. Well, we know that that is not true, because we know what happened to Daniel. When Daniel prayed, God instantly heard him and answered, but the answer was held up in the atmosphere.
Yes.
So as believers, we must be tuned in to the word of God and not to give up on our faith and to realize the fact that those things yet happen. Those things yet happen, and it's a trying and a testing of our faith. And I just want to say I thoroughly enjoyed the broadcast, and, of course, I could go on and on and on, because you know what we always say, when you hear a good message, it stirs you to even want to say more and to do more. So I thank you, Teacher Tindall, for the wonderful message that you brought to us today. It truly is food for my soul.
Thank you so much, Mother Bishop. And you know, you and Bishop Tindall stirred me with the lessons that that you brought. I'm still rejoicing over those. But I thank you for sharing about patience as well, because I love that scripture in James 1 where it talks about that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing.
Amen.
And, you know, I want to share this with you. I was talking to Pastor Tindall yesterday. He was telling me about some doctor's reports and some situations that we were going on. And he was telling me about one situation, and I was sitting there listening to him praying and just meditating and trying to give him words of encouragement. And we hung up. And he called me like less than 5 minutes later and said, Aunt Margaret, this is done. And, you know, it just marvels, because sometimes when we pray, God answers quickly. But sometimes he takes his time, and there's a reason and a purpose for why he does.
That is so true, Sister Teacher.
Yes.
It is so true. Yes, indeed.
So thank you so much, Mother Bishop, for those words of encouragement and for being in on the broadcast. And we will try to get you and Bishop back in again before this year is over.
All right, Sister Teacher. You continue to be blessed.
Thank you. God bless.
Well, Teacher Tindall, we have Minister Brooks on the line. I'm sorry, Minister White on the line.
Okay. Good morning, Minister White.
Good morning, family.
How are you?
I'm doing fine. I'm hanging in there. I just really enjoyed this broadcast, and it just reminded me once again, because I always say you have to constantly push and activate your faith button, regardless of what you're going through or how you're feeling. And I always have to remind myself that you sometimes can't look for others to encourage your faith, but you have to be your biggest cheerleader.
Yes.
You have to be the one that pushed that button to activate your own faith and to encourage yourself. And even through this process of my knee healing, you know, I got a little frustrated. And I'm like, oh, well, I'm walking without a cane, but the physical therapy didn't like that my knee is still stiff. So I was like, God, you know, I've been praying for healing. And then something just dropped in my spirit and say, sometimes God got to sit you down because you move too fast.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And meaning that, I'm so used to being the type of doing everything for myself and, you know, and getting up and making moves for myself, because there are not enough cheerleaders in my corner.
Mm-hmm.
And I just have to realize God set me down for a reason. And during this process of God sitting me down these last 5 months dealing with this knee, I'm hearing better.
Praise God.
I'm hearing better. And I'm pushing my I'm pushing that faith button daily, because, God, I know you're going to heal me, but it's not my will but your will. And when you do, you know I'm going to praise you regardless of whatever my situation is. So I just want to encourage somebody. Sometimes you just got to be your biggest cheerleader.
Yes.
You got to encourage yourself, and you constantly got to keep pushing that faith button when there's no one else around to push it, because God will never leave us or forsaken us, and his word is yay or nay, and sometimes we just got to understand, like somebody said, he's not a microwavable God.
No.
We think that we can put stuff in the microwave and we get it done in 2 or 3 minutes, so we sit there and pray to God and expect God to answer us in 2.5 seconds. It don't work like that. Sometimes
right.
God wants us to be quiet and be silent and listen.
Yes. That is so
and
beautiful.
And he wants to activate that faith in us, but we got to push and listen. Sometimes we just got to sit still and be quiet.
That's right. Be still, know that I am God. Well, Minister White, that word encouraged me today, and I'm sure it encouraged our listeners. And, you know, we can do a whole series on this notion of encouraging yourself and activating your faith yourself. Because sometimes we get so dependent on the pastor, the evangelist, the elder, the bishop, for every little thing we go to them instead of going to God and asking God to give us the faith to believe for and encourage ourselves. Amen.
Amen.
God, thank you so much for sharing that. And you have a wonderful day in the Lord.
You are.
Well, blessings to you. Again, you know, this is so exciting. I mean, it is a blessing. It is a huge blessing. I know the people who are there on the line that they are receiving, you know, this message on this morning. Teacher Tender, we have Elder Brooks on the line.
Good morning, Elder Brooks.
Good morning, Teacher Tender and everyone else.
How are you?
I'm doing fine.
Wonderful. Nice to hear your voice.
Thank you. I was just wanted to say a couple of things about the broadcast, because, you know, I'm on here all the time. But it resonated in my spirit, these words: take your eyes off the limitations and put it on the one who is limitless, that God used you in spite of your limitations. And I thought, and I said, well, it's always good to know that we have someone that we can depend on, to believe in God and to know, you know, that he is all we need. And just remember that there is no limit when God is in it, and that there's no limit what he can do. And all we have to do is remember that and depend on him, and not depend on our family members, and not depend on our church people, and not to depend, but we can always depend on God, because he's always there 24/7.
Well, Elder Brooks, I wrote down what you said, that little slogan, and I think that's something we all ought to remember. There is no limit when God is in it.
Mm-hmm.
I love it. I'm going to write that. I collect quotes. I'm writing that and putting it on my wall here in my office. But we need to walk in that there is no limit when God is in it. And when we operate in kingdom authority under the power of God and with his authority, there is no limit because God is in it. Thank you so much for sharing that word.
Welcome.
Oh, I'm on fire from that word this morning. Thank you so much, Elder Brooks.
God bless you. You're welcome.
Have a wonderful day.
Okay, you too.
Amen. Well, we have Sister Zendler, who is a deacon in training, Sister Monica Zendler.
Good morning, Sister Monica.
Good morning. How are you doing?
I'm well. How are you today?
I am good. I just have, I guess, a comment and a question. I find in my life that last step, handing the situation over to God, truly handing it over and not pulling back at it, is the hardest step. And I find myself always wanting to maybe help God out, tell him how to do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, give him a little help every once in a while. But do you have any pointers or any things to say about how do you really, truly, I mean, hand it over needs to really, really surrender the whole thing to his plan and his design, even though he may have given you a vision.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it doesn't still be you think.
Well, you know, Sister Zendler, we can use the example. There are many examples that we can use to illustrate this point, both the positive side of it as well as what happens when we don't hand it over to God. And yet Abraham and Sarah give another example of what happens when we try to help God out. You know, we hear a word from the Lord and we believe it, but it doesn't come fast enough, or it seems like it's impossible because I know good and well I'm not going to be able to do A, B, C, or D. So I'll just go and do this, and I'll just do this, try to help God out a little bit. But truly handing it over to God is, I'll use this example. I'm afraid I don't know how to swim. And when I go to the pool, I always go into the shallow end. But handing it over to God, it would be as if I went to the deep end and just dove in and trusted and knew that I was going to be able to swim. That's almost what it feels like, because sometimes we get a good sense of holding on. We have a sense of control and power when we try to hold on to things and try to get them to work out. But it is freeing. It is empowering. It is a release. You feel it in your spirit when you can just give it over to God and let it go. Now, the word teaches us to be anxious for nothing. When we release it and give it over to God, that doesn't mean you're not going to think about it or it's not going to come to your mind, but you're not going to be anxious about it. You're not going to dwell on it. You're not going to let it consume your life. You just know that God's got this, and I'm just going to keep walking in his way, knowing that he's going to work it out.
That is a very good word.
And, you know, I will tell you, I've had personal examples, and my sister can tell you about this, where once upon a time I was sued for $10 million. And when I first got the paperwork, I was so whatever, and immediately I reverted into God mode, which says, don't worry about this, and I gave it over to God. Do you know, my sister would ask me periodically, how are you, and I kept telling her, I'm not worried about this, God's got it. Do you know the case was released with prejudice? I did not have to pay any of that $10 million, nor did I have to walk into a courtroom. You know, we sing that song, he's a doctor in the sick room and a lawyer in the courtroom. You don't even have to go to the courtroom. He'll go before you and do it. But we've got to be able to totally release it and give it to God and let him work it out. Because if we try to fix it, we are going to make a mess with severe and lasting consequences.
Amen. I like what you're anxious being. That anxious feeling is really my gauge. I haven't really turned it over.
Exactly. Exactly. But when you can feel free and clear, and as I said, you're going to think about it because we're human, but you're not going to dwell on it and let it consume you. So I hope that blesses you and that you think about this as you walk through whatever situations you have ongoing.
Thank you.
Thank you for calling, Sister Monica. You have a blessed day.
You too.
Well, Teacher Tindall, looks like that's about it. We may have one more, and I'm going to check because it looks like we have one more that would like to come on. So if you'd like, you know, I'll go ahead and check, you know, but I will just say myself that this has really been a blessing to me as well.
Well, praise God. Thank you so much, Bishop Haywood. this is truly a word from the Lord today, because late last night I didn't know what I was going to do, and God directed me, and apparently this is what he needed for us to hear today. So I thank God for his word.
Amen.
Well, Teacher Tindall, it looks like that's really all we have today in terms of, we have a lot of folks on the line, but it appears that no one else is running in to say anything. I think they're just enjoying the show. I know I did.
Yes. Well, we thank God for all of you listeners and those who called in and share your words of encouragement. And before we go, I'd like to give special thanks to our Ecumenical Patriarch, Bishop Tindall, and the UFCCM Episcopal Board of Bishops for their ongoing support of this ministry of laity training. As always, to our very dear Bishop Haywood, who is the chair of the Ministry of Communications and who diligently ensures every month that these broadcasts go forth by means of Blog Talk Radio. And this is truly a man who disregards his limitations. And we thank God for him. And to you, our listeners and friends of the USCCM who listen every month and participate, we thank God for each of you. Our next broadcast will be on Saturday, May 11th, and our scheduled presenter is Bishop Ronald Hobson, who is the Provisional Bishop of TPOM, which is an acronym for the Ecclesiastical Province of Massachusetts. I know this great man of wisdom is putting together a great presentation for us. I don't know if he's going to be presenting or if he's going to be bringing in some of the ministers from TPOM, but we know that it will be a wonderful presentation. I know you won't want to miss it, and so be sure to tune in. And also, in final thought, remember, if you have any questions about these broadcasts or desire more information or just want to share how these have blessed you, please feel free to contact me directly at teachertyndall@ufccm.org. That's teachertyndall@ufccm.org. I would love to hear from you. So let us now go to the Lord in our closing prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before you thanking you for today. We thank you for this broadcast, Father. We thank you for your words that you have enabled us to share with your listening audience. Father, we thank you for the richness of your word, Father, that is designed to help us to operate in kingdom authority and to apply biblical principles to our everyday walk. Father, we ask you to continue to bless each and every one, bless our listeners far and near, bless our UFCC and prelate and all of our officials. And Father, we ask you as we go down from this place to keep our minds on you, to keep us focused on you and your grace and your mercy, and help us to continue to walk upright before you and do your will. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. See you next time.
Blessings. We wish to remind you that the UFCCM is a international non-denominational Christian fellowship. And if you have any questions and interest in learning more about the UFCCM, go to ufccm.org, ufccm.org. We would love to hear from you. There you'll be able to go around and have a look at many of the areas of ministry and resources that we provide and that God has blessed us with, our annual conferences, and even local events. So go to ufccm.org, and we're looking to hear from you.
Stay up to date with all UFCCM news, events, and happenings. Go to ufccm.org. Also, find us on Facebook at UFCCM Today. Did you know that you could contact the UFCCM through the National Switchboard? Call 833-88-UFCCM. That's 833-888-3226. Go to the UFCCM website for specific extensions.
There is a definite need for training the laity. The Ministry of Laity Training is one of the four UFCCM Ecclesiastical Ministry Offices, the laity. I would also point out that the Ministry of Laity Training is one of the four UFCCM Ecclesiastical Ministry Offices. We have Ministry of Evangelism, Ministry of Communications, the Ministry of Laity Training, and also the Ministry of Clergy Training.